I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Chad is taking on vacation, so I've been tasked to take on the world. Craig Hoffman with you until 6:30 this evening, and we have a whole lot going on. Excited to be joined at 3:30 by Ryan McDonough, the former GM of the Phoenix Suns. NBA trade deadline just a few weeks away, so our NBA Radio.com Sports Insider will join us. That'll be the only NBA we do today, but we got some Ovi talk at 3 o'clock because I don't know if you know, guys know this. He's good at hockey. And you probably shouldn't hit him with a stick in the face, especially earlier in the game when he's got a lot of time to be very angry and take his anger out on pucks that he puts past your goaltender. That was last night. Brian McNally is going to join us to talk about it at 3 o'clock. Damon Mendolara, CBS Sports Radio, good buddy of mine, hardcore Mets fan, going to talk us through some of the thoughts up there in the division for the Nats, cheating scandal in Major League Baseball, Carlos Beltran, the latest to be swept up in that. And pretty much other than that, it's football. Is it a football Friday? Is that a thing we're doing in 2020? Isn't it? I don't think it's brought to us by anybody anymore, but it's... Yeah, Football Friday, brought to you by our desire to talk about football. How about that for a sponsor? We got some skins. Brock threw a really interesting premise at me before the show, so we're going to chop that up in 15 minutes. We're also going to talk to Jay Binkley, 610 Sports in Kansas City, does Chiefs postgame. So we got both games covered. Today we'll get talk to someone on the Packers. We'll talk to someone hopefully on the Niners as well. Maybe even the Titans. Maybe. Ryan Tannehill, congratulations to him. As a member of the Pro Football Writers Association, I'm happy to announce that Ryan Tannehill, not only most improved player of 2018, comeback player of the year. Fun fact. I'm gonna take a mini victory lap here. Brock, do you have a question first? Brock, you look very quizzical right now.
You said comeback player of the year and most improved?
Yeah, he came back from being a Miami Dolphin last year.
Okay, fair enough, but like I feel like you can only win one of those. Like either you're improving or you're going to come back. You can't hog all the awards.
I mean, he was terrible last year, so he improved. He also was hurt and a member of the tanking Dolphins. And
okay, fair enough.
And so he qualifies for both. Had they been even better, maybe he could have been MVP. But we all know the MVP of that team is Derrick Henry. I have a great picture of Derrick Henry next to Deion Lewis from last year on the sideline before the Titans-Redskins game. To think that those two dudes play the same position is... it's a lot. Because Derrick Henry in person is... I don't quite really know how to describe it other than he's just every bit as big as you would have thought. But here's my mini victory lap on Ryan Tannehill, which is not where I anticipated starting the show, but this is what happens in my brain sometimes. It wanders. This offseason, the Redskins, you might remember, needed a quarterback because Alex Smith had gotten hurt. We didn't know whether the play was go young, which they obviously did with Dwayne Haskins, but there was talk of, like, do they go after, like, Teddy Bridgewater, all that ilk of quarterback. And the thought was Bridgewater's going to be too expensive. He winds up actually going as a backup to the Saints. Had he come here, he would have been the starter. I don't think they ever seriously inquired about him from anything that I was able to garner. But one of the guys that I brought up was Ryan Tannehill. Because, let me get my years straight. 2016 was the year. So I came here in 2015 and had a full-time job at another radio station. And then I didn't. And then I showed up at this radio station, and I did pre- and post-game that year, but I also did a lot of fill-in work for some of our other affiliates around the country, most notably the one in Miami. And that was the year that Tannehill took the Dolphins to the playoffs. That team wasn't that good, But like, I watched every Dolphins game that year. Take a second to take all your condolences. I watched every Dolphins game that year, and he was fine. Not only was he fine, at times he was really good. And Adam Gase, who now is like a joke with the Jets, like, they were a good combination that year. And so I thought Tannehill, of the options out there, non-Bridgewater division, was about as good as it gets, and I feel a little bit vindicated on that. Now, if he's in D.C. this year with all the chicanery that happened, I'm not telling you that he would have been awesome. Would he have looked more like Case Keenum? Maybe. But I think that dude's better than Case Keenum. He's athletic. Like, you could do some things. Like, I think O'Connell could have really, and Jay even, could have done some things with him that would have been really interesting. Obviously, if Jordan gets hurt and Darius gets hurt, like, that kills your offense. But I think they should have looked harder at Tannehill last year. And now he's playing in the AFC title game. Here's a true statement. Ryan Tannehill is one win away from the Super Bowl. Who would have thought? Talk more about that game coming up a little bit later in the show. Anything else that we need to... Brock, we need to talk about your... I realize we try to avoid talking about your dietary choices on this program because they're notably horrendous.
No, they're not avoided. They are highlighted, and I am shamed and admonished for my dietary choices.
Okay, so we have a segment like that coming up at 3:45. Landfill, this is what you get for not doing a fast food pinata, is we have to talk about what Brock eats, and just, there's a thing that I don't understand when it's in season, and Brock was consuming it today out of season. That's the tease.
Holiday snack food.
Yeah.
An off-season holiday snack item. I could give you a review of it later. I'd be happy to.
You prepare that for 3:45.
Absolutely.
But not next, because I need you next.
No problem.
You want to help me set this up? This was your premise. So for those that somehow don't know, this isn't my regular gig sitting here in this chair. I was very surprised. Not Chris Russell surprised, but very surprised at all the construction. I was like, man, even for Navy Yard, this is a lot of construction. Right. I haven't been down here in a hot second.
Okay, right. And so this entire region, lots of construction. Yeah. This is the epicenter
of the construction.
An area of a region consumed by construction. There's more of it here than anywhere else.
Yeah, there's less parking as well. And I also forgot how much our garage costs. So when I went to go into the garage, and as I'm pulling the ticket out of the thing, right, going, oh, I don't know if it's worth that much to keep my car warm, but my car will be warm after the show, so that's nice. My main gig is to be the reporter for this radio outfit covering the Washington Redskins football organization, and thus, people like to ask me questions about said organization, and Brock, you had a good question.
Right, so I'm a radio guy. I'm a radio producer. Of course, this is sports talk radio, and I like sports, but I'm a fan.
Yes.
You are the Redskins insider. You're the Redskins beat reporter. And as a fan, I feel like there are two main issues when it comes to the Redskins. There's the off-the-field disaster. Everything that the team does off the field is, like, they always trip over their own shoelaces, their own feet. And then there's the fact that they are a bad team.
Mm-hmm.
And those two things have gotten completely intertwined. So I don't know where one thing ends and the other begins. But with Ron Rivera being hired, is he going to be able to, number one, turn the team around and make them a winning organization? And number two, if he's like the front man for the organization, can he rearrange the team, the structure, rearrange Ashburn to the point where there isn't just constant buffoonery, where they're not stirring Gatorade with a sleeve of cups, misspelling London Fletcher's name, those things. Like, where does one thing end? Where does the other begin? How much of it had to do with Bruce Allen? Basically, I want your perspective on, like, how much Ron Rivera can get done, how quickly. And a side note, I would actually like to hear from the listeners whether or not they feel like if this team was winning and they were still doing all of that, all of the terrible off the field bits,
mm-hmm,
like, would it just be cute? Would it be adorable if they just made so many mistakes, but were actually like a 9-11 win team?
Well, guess what, Brock? You're going to get all those answers next. This song choice is pretty funny because I was actually just, we used to use this, of all things, on our college radio station to end our Friday night football broadcast. And in the break, I just got an email from our college radio station alumni association. The world is a small place sometimes. Craig Hoffman with you in for Dukes today on Chad Dukes versus the World. Brock has a lot of questions. Brock, when I tossed to you to set that up, I did not expect 17 questions, but you gave them all. We're gonna have to go like one by one here to get through your thoughts here on the Redskins.
Right. It basically boils down to this: the Redskins are a disaster off the field and on the field.
Here's what you wrote down on my sheet.
There's a lot on there.
Is Ron Rivera enough to fix the dysfunction in Ashburn?
That's it.
That's the question.
That's the question.
Written Brock, greater than sign. Speaking Brock, in terms of setup of this segment.
Landfill's in here agreeing with you, and I disagree with both of you.
I'm just trying to curry favor in different corners of the room, and then I have to, you know, earn my Browning points, use them where I can. It's just how that works. So it's a great question, and it's one that I've thought a lot about since Ron Rivera was hired. Is this enough? Is this the guy? And I think ultimately it comes down to this. How much power does he have? And by way of background, before I get into that answer, a hint at the answer that it might be yes is actually looking back to Brian LaFemina. Now, of course, looking back to Brian can also be a hint that the answer is no. But one of the things that happened when Brian got hired, and I had at the time, I don't know if you've heard this, but a lot of people left Ashburn. But at the time, I had a pretty good pulse of the building, not just on the football side, but kind of how people interacted on the business side and just the general feel around the entire organization. When Brian showed up, everybody sat up in their chairs a little bit straighter. Everybody started showing up on time a little bit more. Everyone acted in a lot more professional manner. Some of the casual office place chicanery, we'll call it, went away. Because Brian was an adult. Brian was someone who cared about that stuff. Brian wanted a professional work environment, and people, instead of going like, nah, we're not, like, what are you doing? Why are you tightening this up? It was a very welcome change. And I get the sense that Rivera, being the head dog of the organization, the lead dog of the organization, is going to have a very similar effect. Not just on the football operation, but he's going to drive the entire bus. Now, they will hire someone, presumably, to run the actual business side. When it comes to, and Rob Rogers is, for now, kind of the highest person in that part of the building, even though he's more football contractual, but he's the business of football, and thus he's going to have a little bit, in the absence of hiring a marketing, whatever, is going to be more, I think, involved in some of that kind of stuff. But having a tone setter for your organization of what the expectation of professionalism is matters. And if Rivera is going to be empowered in the way that Bruce was to set that, and when he talks about this coach-centric approach and that Ron is the most important person in the organization, as opposed to the last decade where Bruce was the most important in the organization, you're going to get everybody either jumping on board or wanting to leave or not being surprised when they're sent out the door and replaced with someone who is more along the lines of those in terms of vision. Now, there's a lot of details to get into here in terms of fixing Ashburn, so to speak, away from just the football team, which I know is part of your question as well. For instance, this organization pays people way below anyone else in the NFL, from what I understand. I don't have exact data on that. I'm not reporting that. Just what I'm told when you compare the salary of a marketing person, like your junior level whatever, to the junior level marketing person in name any other organization pretty much outside of Oakland, which even that's probably going to change because they're going to Vegas. Like it doesn't add up. They're towards the bottom or at the very bottom. Does Ron, as he gets deeper involved in the organization, see that stuff and go, hey, Dan, I know how we can get better people. I know how we can have a better marketing department. Let's pay some people a little bit more. and the type of people that Ron Rivera is going to attract versus the type of people that Bruce Allen was attracting are very different types of people. If you want to work for Bruce Allen, you're probably not going to want to work for Ron Rivera. And so ultimately, the question then becomes of, or the answer to your question of, can Ron Rivera fix Ashburn becomes, does Dan Snyder adopt the Ron Rivera way, or is the reason that Bruce Allen stayed a decade and Brian LaFemina, or here's a fancy way to say it, why Bruce Allen stayed 10 years and Brian LaFemina stayed 10 months is because Dan sees the world the way Bruce did, and that Bruce was actually just enacting Dan's vision, and that if Ron starts saying, we need to pay people more, we need to bring in more of this, we need to increase our scouting department, we need to do all of these things that are going to cost more money but are really investments in your own success, that he goes, yeah, this dude's wasting my money and this is getting real old. Where's Bruce playing golf these days? Or whatever the next iteration is. And that's the answer I don't know. Because when Marty Schottenheimer was here, there's a lot of similar rhetoric. And Marty got fired real quick. Brian LaFemina comes in. He's empowered to make this the best organization for our fans, and we're going to fire him in 10 months. I don't know. It's not possible for me to know what Snyder is thinking and where a year from now he'll be on Rivera. But if you want to be optimistic about this right now, and there are no bonus points for pessimism, the optimistic view of this is that Dan has learned after his first decade of ownership to be hands-off. The problem with his second decade was that he was hands-off with a guy who didn't know how to be successful in Bruce. The optimistic take on this, the optimistic view that lends the answer to be, yes, Ron Rivera is enough to fix Ashburn, is he will now be hands-off with Rivera, who is way better at all of this stuff than the previous guy who had all the power, even though they have very different positions. That's my answer to your question.
It's a very good answer.
Thank you.
It's very thorough, because it really gets down to the fact that it's very soul-crushing as a fan when you watch the team lose and then get embarrassed Wednesday afternoon as well. And if they were just winning, some of that stuff, like Bruce Allen saying winning off the field, there's a damn good culture. There's a list long enough that Grant and Danny were able to do an entire 4 hours on them just from the last 10 years. If those things are happening and the team is winning, it becomes adorable. You know, like they're
it's a passing thing. It's right. A funny thing on SportsCenter. You're the butt of the joke for a day, but you move on. It's like, yeah, but you know, if the Packers guy is stirring the Gatorade with a thing of plastic cups, then you're going, oh, that's funny. But did you see what Rodgers did?
Exactly. It becomes just something random that happens in the background of it. It becomes something that happens on the Monday Night Football game, not something about the Redskins. And that's the line that I wonder if I'm the only one that sees it, or if any of the people listening also see it that way, and like what their hope is for this organization and what they think that Ron Rivera could do, best case scenario.
For sure. So that's the question. 800-636-1067. I just laid out the two paths we can go down. The optimistic, which I laid out in detail. The pessimistic is just the opposite of that. That Dan doesn't have the patience for those kinds of things. And that we're a year, 2 years, 3 years from now in the same boat. With someone new being told that they're the center of the Redskins universe, and that person may not be the quality of human that Ron Rivera is, who has the potential to turn this thing around. 800-636-1067. Craig Hoffman in for Dukes, and we're taking your calls next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Top of the hour, Brian McNally joins us to talk about Alex Ovechkin's chase for history and another historic night last night against the Devils. Craig Hoffman in for Dukes today. Chad Dukes versus the world. 106.7 The Fan, thefandc.com, and theradio.com app. We're taking your calls at 800-636-1067. Is Ron Rivera enough to fix the dysfunction in Ashburn? I laid out the case for and against in the last segment. Now, which case are you taking? That's the question we have for you. We start with Paul in Alexandria. Paul, thanks for holding through the break. Appreciate it, man. You're on the Fan.
Hey, thank you very much. Look, Dan's the man. He spends money. He tries real hard. He's a fanatic. And he's went like every different way you could go to try to be successful. He's just like us. He's fallible. He tries real hard. He makes bad decisions when he's emotional. And now, with the Ron Rivera hire, I see it now. Like, I see his potential as an owner. And I want to just congratulate him and the organization for really stepping into the light. You know, like, he trusted Bruce. Bruce was a character guy to him. He was, like, super character or whatever and, you know, respected around the league. But it fell apart. And now he understands. I mean, he tried to get coaches, Shanahan, Gibbs. He tried to get all the coaches, you know. And now he's finally got a character guy that can lead us to the promised land. And that's what's important, is that he's evolving and learning and that the team is going to get behind him and behind the coach. I appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, Paul, thanks for the call. I mean, look, I don't disagree with some of the points you make, especially the ones about the right guy for right now. I think Ron Rivera is the right coach for the right team at the right time. Ron Rivera is what the Redskins needed. By the same token, I look at like what they're about to go through in Carolina, where they just kicked him out the door and they hired Matt Rhule and Joe Brady, and that's young, exciting. That's what that organization needs right now. That organization needs a pop. They got stale down there with Ron at the helm. This organization would love to go stale with consistency. The constant roller coaster, the constant just, wait, the Redskins did what? Like, you're not going to get that stuff with Rivera. It's just not how he is. And if it does happen, he'll handle it like an adult instead of marching, because he'll have real say, he'll have real power, he'll have real insight. Where for the last 5 years of me covering this team, like, I can't tell you how many conversations we had in the media room where we just look at each other and go, I guess we asked Jay about this? Stuff that just wasn't his job. That's not to absolve Jay, because there's also plenty of stuff we asked Jay about that was a little crazy that was his job. But the unified vision that Rivera has for now is the right thing. Doesn't excuse 25 years or 20 years of yucking it up. It doesn't excuse 20 years of, you know, coach change, player going crazy, signing all these dudes early on, and then, you know, making this just complete 180 to Bruce is the guy and trusting Bruce for at least a half decade longer than he should have. Like, how many examples did you need that Bruce ain't the guy? How many other people did you need to bring in and see get ruined before you went, not the guy? The ability to see when it's over is really important. And Dan completely with Bruce Allen, like he eventually did when confronted with no other possibilities. And there's reporting, and I don't have this confirmed, but I also don't have it not confirmed. I have no reason to doubt it, that Dan wanted to keep Bruce around for stadium duty. And the people were like, no. You send him to his palatial estate and the other on the West Coast and keep him as far away from this building as he can possibly be. And then we'll be good. And that's how Rivera winds up there. So to say like, hey, Dan's trying. Yeah, cool. He's got to do more than try. Like, he can't get fired. He's the owner. But if I did a bunch of stuff wrong and I went, hey, I'm trying. Like, we all make mistakes. We all are fallible. I'm not saying that we don't all, and I definitely have screwed some stuff up in this job and in every other job that I've had. But to screw that much up, like, that's more than just being human and fallible. That's being bad at your job. Let's call it what it is. And any of us that are in positions to be removed from our jobs, if we had that track record, would have been removed. But he's the owner, so he can't be removed. Brian's in Fairfax. Brian, thanks for calling. You're on the Fan.
Hey, Craig. Thanks so much for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it.
The last caller stole a little bit of my thunder, but I agree that Dan has screwed things up for so long. I'm more on the approach of, you know, let's wait and see. But I got to give him some credit because I really it just feels different for me at this stage that he not only, you know, got rid of Bruce in his position, but got him out of the building completely. And you know, he waited too long. Yeah, he did a lot of things wrong, but giving one person in Ron, who's a very respectable, disciplined coach, the full reign to hire everybody. And again, it's wait and see to see what happens down the road. But I really do believe Dan is leaving it up to him. And this could be it. I mean, this team has lacked continuity and everybody, every coach being on the same page. And now finally, I like the fact that Ron's hiring who he wants. That's the only way to make things change quickly is to get everybody on the same page and move forward. May take 3 years, but I really do think Dan has turned a corner and has had enough of everything. And I just got to give him some credit and hope that he stays out of the mix.
Yep, Brian, I think that's the right approach. I appreciate the call. Absolutely the right approach. Hey, this was good. Nice job. Now, please step away. Please don't get involved. I would still love to talk to Dan from an interview standpoint because I have a lot of questions. But if I'm a fan, yeah, I don't really want to hear from Dan Snyder. I would much rather him just stay in the background. And I hope that outside of being told what is happening, he's not really involved that much. He's the owner. But like being involved and being in the loop versus being actively a part of the decision-making is not where I want Dan Snyder. Now, Rivera has said if it comes to a disagreement between, say, he and Kyle, where they're split on a player, that the owner would be the one to decide that. I mean, systematically, I don't have a problem with that. He's the owner. It's just that, personally, based off his track record, doesn't inspire great confidence. Let's put it that way. I will say there's one other point that Brian made that was really good about the coaching staff that I want to dive into next, plus more of your phone calls. 800-636-1067. Are you optimistic that Ron Rivera is enough to change Ashburn? That's what we're talking about. Hoffman in for Dukes on Chad Dukes versus the World. Nothing like live radio, and right before you turn your mic on, part of your lunch decides to get stuck in your throat. So if I just start hacking up along this segment, Landfill, you got some content?
Yeah, I'm good. I can fill this.
Okay.
You can do what you need to do.
Okay. Just warning you and the audience, things could go south. If they do, I will try to turn off my microphone. But There's Cava's got these new crispy chickpeas, and they're good. And I had them in my little greens and grains bowl, but I think one just dislodged from somewhere in my teeth, and it's now like sitting in a very risky spot.
Crispy things are—it's a very high risk strategy to get crispiness on whatever you're eating because it can go very wrong very quickly.
Yeah.
And you can think you're good. You think, I haven't eaten this in hours, so I'm definitely okay. And then all of a sudden you're choking, and it's just rough.
Yeah, which is extra bad on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I almost had a Cheeto kill me earlier today.
It's an epidemic. I in Dallas, it's one thing when you're hosting, you can kind of have some fun with it. When I was in Dallas and doing, by the way, Hoffman, if you're like, who's the weird guy who's not Dukes? I don't recognize that voice. Why? What did I kind of do? Hoffman in for Dukes today. That's me. Chad Dukes versus the world. You can listen to us on the radio.com app anytime, anywhere. I was doing updates and like a total idiot, complete rookie move, was snacking on some almonds before and one just got stuck right on the edge of my throat and the whole update, I'm just somewhere in here. It was bad. Every once in a while, I'll be like going through old audio files. I have it saved somewhere. And I'm like, I'm actually afraid to click on it because of how embarrassed I am about how badly that went.
You could be like Chris Russell. One time he was hosting.
You could just stop right there. And, you could be like Chris Russell. I think I'm all right.
And he decided that he was just going to snack on peanuts the entire show. And he nearly choked. He nearly died on air for like solidly 3 minutes. He was just choking on peanuts because he couldn't put them down.
That's discretion is the better part of valor. I actually think in that update, I apologized. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm choking on an almond. Because what else are you going to do? What else are you going to do?
Just let people think you're weird and have a bizarre voice.
Like, what happened to that guy? He's normally super polished. There was another thing I was going to talk about with that. But really, I think that topic has run its course. Back to what we were talking about before, the Redskins, and whether or not Ron Rivera is enough to save Ashburn. If you would like to squeeze in another call or two, 800-636-1067. But the last caller, did anybody remember the last caller's name? I feel so bad. It was like 5 minutes ago, and I don't... Was it Brian? I think it was Brian. We definitely had a Brian. Maybe Brian made this point. Maybe it was another guy. I think it was Brian who said, like, the coaching staff unity, you know, I love to see that. It's the only way forward. Let's, to borrow a phrase from the Midday Show, let's double-click on that. I don't think people really understand. It's been reported at this point, but I don't know if it's been harped on enough, how much this coaching staff didn't get along last year. Oh, yeah. It was bad. It was really bad. JP reported on the defensive side later in the year, and there were kind of mumblings and rumblings all year about the offensive side. On the defensive side, it was Tom Sula, Minuski, Versal. Those dudes did not see eye to eye with Rob Ryan, with Ray Horton, with all the other assistants that are beneath those guys. Like, the way in which they blitz, the way in which they use their guys in coverage, it was a problem for years. Like, the thing with DJ Swearinger's thing a couple years ago was not that DJ was particularly wrong. This is what I said at the time. Whether he's right or not is irrelevant. It's the fact that he said it is an issue, and he shouldn't have said it. It was not his place to publicly call out his coaches like that. The more hindsight I have, the more studying I do of the defensive side of the ball, the more I realize DJ Swearinger was 100% right. Those dudes do not know what to do with the secondary at all. It was horrendous on that side of the ball. And so a guy like Ray Horton comes in who's supposed to be there to help, and he's probably like, well, I think we should do this. And Minuski's probably like, well, you can shove it because this is how we play, and I'm the coordinator. And apparently that's what happened. So on the offensive side, I'm not saying you can't get more philosophically opposed than Kevin O'Connell and Bill Callahan. But they certainly were not seeing eye to eye. And that goes for Jay Gruden as well, earlier in the year, before he got sent out of town. Or sent to the golf course. But the good news is that Jay really likes golfing. But anyway, neither here nor there. Callahan, I think anybody that listened to him talk from literally day one went, oh, this guy really didn't like what was going on. And he had a very old school, you have to run the football. And I don't want to turn this into bashing Callahan, even though philosophically I agree a lot more with the way Jay and especially Kevin thinks about offense. But there's some really good things from a cultural standpoint that Callahan did, and I think he deserves some credit for those things. So this is not a all in all. And, you know, I think that's why Dan thanked him in the press conference and why Rivera has spoken highly of some of the things that they did late in the year, because they kind of got the organization, like the start of the organization getting organized did start with Gruden going out and Callahan coming in. And, you know, the coordinators to a point do deserve some credit for some of that stuff too. I think Kevin cleaned some things up on the offensive side, yada, yada, yada. So, but ultimately, like, the vision of how to move the football and really importantly last year, how to make the quarterback comfortable. Bill's like, just have him hand the ball off. And Kevin's like, I've played quarterback. I would like to throw it every now and again on first and second down, because on third down, defenses do crazy stuff. And when it's third and eight and they're doing crazy stuff and they know we're going to pass it, that lets them do the crazy stuff. Put more X's and O's. If you don't have to worry about run fits, you can line up pass rushers anywhere. If it's third and three, you have to play a more simple defense because you might get a running play. You have to have run responsibility as opposed to just rushing the quarterback and playing coverage or whatever it is that you're doing. So Kevin would want to throw the ball on early downs and Bill wanted to run it, and they would butt heads, and not just in meetings and setting up the game plans during the week. There were some confrontations in games. Sometimes they went Kevin's way. Sometimes they went Bill's way. It is what it is. It's done. It's gone. It's also why Kevin's not here. Because Ron understands how important that is, and Kevin understands. And when it became clear that Rivera was going to hire some of the people he wanted for O'Connell's offensive staff, I think Kevin went, hey, like, you do that. But let's do that with one of your guys and let me go somewhere else. It was an adult way to handle it. And that's something I've reported, and you can read more about all that on thefantasy.com. But the coaching staff unity is really important, that everyone is philosophically on the same page, that they're all trying to implement the same plan, that you're not throwing curveballs at players on game day because one guy decides, hey, actually, I want to do this my way. And I think that is ultimately a really good point that the caller kind of hinted at, that I hope that everyone understands is a strength of the Ron Rivera era. George is in Florida. He's giving us a call on the Fan. George, thanks for holding. Appreciate it. You're on the Fan.
Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, I think Ron Rivera is the perfect choice for the next 3 to 5 years to right the ship. I'm not sure he's the guy that's going to hoist the Super Bowl trophy over his head, but he's the right pick at this time. My question to you guys is, how many wins do you think year one or year two is realistic? Is it 6-10, 8-8? I'm anxious to hear what you guys think the win-loss record would be, at least as we go down this road with Coach Rivera.
Yeah, George, thanks for the call. I think like anywhere between 6-10 is definitely possible. Like, it just, this is an 8-8 league, and if you're healthy, you get lucky, you catch a break, you win 10. And if you're unlucky, you win 6. Like, I think they're right there in a, from a roster standpoint, with one or two smart additions, and if Dwayne develops right, then they could be competitive this year. Not Super Bowl competitive, but division competitive. And then you'd hope that ceiling raises a little bit, and maybe in year two, with Dwayne going into year three and maybe really figuring some things out, year two under Turner, yada, 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 so you fill in the other holes, you find a stud middle linebacker. Maybe now you're looking at somewhere between 8-12 wins. year two, year three, and that I think is the goal. I think this is a 2 to 3 year process. Rivera is certainly a process oriented guy, but this roster has talent. Like, part of the reason they fired the coaches and part of the reason they were so freaking frustrated last year was because they had these guys that were flying around in training camp on the defensive side of the ball, and they got in real games. And it's like, how did our guys get worse? I remember one of the personnel guys talking to me on the phone last year and literally saying that. He's like, Jimmy Moreland was making plays everywhere in training camp. Why does he stink now? How do we get into games with our coaches and these players are worse? That was the frustration. So, you know, I think there's talent. They need a free safety. They need a free safety. They need another corner. They need a tight end. They could use another receiver. They need Darius to stay healthy. They need Dwayne to develop. But all those things aren't completely outrageous, and I think that's a much smaller list than last year, where you needed Jordan and Darius, and you had a rookie at quarterback or Case, and you're just trying to figure out a million different things. We'll get back to some... I think we run this topic back later in the show. I think we'll get some more calls on that in the 5 o'clock hour, so we'll do that then. 800-636-1067. I don't know why I gave you the phone number, because Brian McNally is calling next, and he's going to be taking up the phone line. But we're going to talk about Alex Ovechkin's continued domination of history next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.